Good morning, church. I'm here to read a Bible text, the scripture text for this morning, and it's to be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 5 to 12. Please, if you have the Bibles with you, open there. Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wage to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But for how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place. As they sat down, about 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciple, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." Here is the word of God.
It's a pleasure to introduce Pastor Albert from India. Pastor Albert actually should not be here. There was another Pastor Albert that was planned to be here. And in the last 10 days, a lot of work has happened from this gentleman sitting here in front with a gray suit, Daniel, who was able to find a very suitable backup. And this is another Pastor Albert. And as you have guessed, Pastor Albert is not his real name. We don't know his real name, actually. And we need to keep it this way because Pastor Albert is doing a lot of work in India that is highly sensitive. And so I would like to ask you not to take any pictures during this time of preaching. And before Pastor Albert starts his sermon, I would like to invite him on the platform so that we can pray for him as he discloses the word of God for us. Father God, we are thankful that whenever we call upon you, that you hear us and that you answer us. And Father, we want to bring before you the sermon that Pastor Albert has for us this morning, that you have put on his heart. We pray that you will bless him, bless us as we hear your word. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning, Jeff. Wonderful to us to be with you all this morning, as you were already told that I was not supposed to be here. But I am here. I want to praise God for this opportunity that God has given to me to be here with you all and bring the word of God to you. I worked as pastor before. In fact, I am still a pastor. But I worked as pastor with Methodist Church in India for 10 years. So whenever I'm given the opportunity to preach, my heart blows. You know? So I don't know how much time I would take. But I've been strictly warned to take 35 minutes.
That's not true.
And I was also told that, don't worry, since we have post-lunch, after the church, we have lunch, so it's not to be worried about the exact time. So I want to praise God for that provision also, because that gives me freedom to extend my... Okay, thank you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with us at this given time. Let the meditation of our hearts and mind and the words that we use should all glorify you and you alone. Be with us and help us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When my daughter was 3 years old, she was very anxious to know how Mama cooks food at home. She was given a small chair by some aunt to her. So she, one day when her mother was cooking food, she also brought her small chair and stood on that chair. She wanted to peep through what actually is going on in the vessel. You know that. But she was not able to see it. But even in that anxiety, she was singing this song in her, you know, very loudly. God is so good. Do you know this song? God is so good. God is so good. And in the meantime, she was trying to jam and see through the vessels what is Mama cooking. And while in all this process, she suddenly fell down from the chair, small chair. And her mother looked at her that she is fallen, but she didn't pick her up. Instead, she behaved as if she has not looked and she didn't know what has happened there. So my daughter, she just looked at her mother and she figured out that she didn't know that I'm fallen here. So she got up slowly, stood on the same chair, and started singing the same song once again. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is good. God is good to me. Hallelujah. And that's why God loves children. And we are the children of God. Hallelujah. What a hope for us. And as the scripture has been already read before all of us, I want you to come to that scripture, John chapter 6, verses from 5 onwards. Plenty of things is happening in this chapter, in this particular passage. A lot of things are happening here. I mean, big story is there. Lots of foods are there. Lots of anxiety is there. Sometimes it feels that there is no food. And then you look at Jesus. And then disciples are there. And multitudes of crowds are there. And suddenly fish and loaves are also there. So I don't know. And it seems what to focus on. My goodness, a lot is happening in these 5 verses. A lot. You know, you can write a thesis on these 5 verses. If you start writing. But let's begin with the I will the topic of my this morning sermon is the identity crisis. The identity crisis or the identity. But before jumping into my subject, I want to give you what is actually happening in the background. You see, if you read verse 5, you find here a big multitude. You can relate this with the story of, with the story that I shared with you last night, India. Big multitude. Plenty of people. 1.3 billion is not less, my dear friends. And that's what the story here is also. It says multitude of people. And then Jesus is asking one of his men to bring food for these guys. You know? I mean, if I'm in the place of Philippus, I would tell, this man is crazy. And at least it should have been given prior information that 5,000 people are coming. Please prepare food for them. I could have done something. Some fund could have been raised to cook food for them. But then suddenly when 5,000 people have come, what if pastor, if you had, would have not announced that this afternoon we'll have lunch, and suddenly if you stand here and say, let's have lunch after the church, And those who are looking after these kind of activities would say, what happened to pastor today? From where we will bring the food? I mean, it is impossible. And I don't know what happens to Philippus. So Philippus just started counting here. Okay, let's forget about the food. First, come to the actual business. 200 denarii or wages of maybe of a year. And then he's calculating the details. How can we provide the food? He's not bothered about the food. He's calculating how to buy the food, how to get the food. You see? But it is written, Jesus knew what he would do. Hallelujah. That means to say, Jesus knew in this particular meeting, evening, opening meeting, open-air meeting, 5,000 people will be there. Hallelujah. And he knew that people will come there, and he knew that he would provide them food. He was prepared to give them food. Because it is written in the verse, verse 6, it says, he just wanted to get their hearts, to understand what they are. But then he knew within from here where he would bring the food for them. That means he already had made arrangements. Our God is not the God of chaos. He is the God of fantastic well arrangement. Hallelujah. And he knew from where he would bring food for these people. Okay, now let me come to the point here. In this story, which we have learned from our childhood in the Sunday school, and then in the youth class, and then in the adult class, and then in the church, this is very much by heart to us. We know it, every word what is written here. But let me ask you just informally, which is the most important figure you find in this story? From this side first. Which is the most important figure in this particular story for you? Maybe one of you can tell me. Jesus, of course, yes, 100%. What else? The boy. The boy who brought the fish. Sir, yes? Philip. Okay, yes. Okay, let me ask this side. Those who are in front of me. Okay, can you please tell me? The multitude. Okay, if the multitude is not there, what will you do with the five loaves and fish? Exactly, yes. Wow, anybody else? Yeah, here, this side, to the people of my right. Okay, the bread. Oh, bread is important. And Jesus says, I am the bread. Wow. Anything else? The bread, yes. Somebody said here, the boy who brought five loaves and two fish. I would, this morning's sermon, I would focus on him, the identity crisis that people go through in life. This is a young boy. He is a young boy, maybe a very young boy. Not even have reached the age of teens. Maybe he's 11 years old. Or maybe he is 10 years old. Because teens usually don't prefer a tiffin from their mama when they're going out. So I consider him maybe younger than that. Maybe 11, 10 years old boy. Now look at this boy. We seldom talk about this boy. But we know there is a small boy. We talk about a small boy and that's all we are done. But I want to talk more about this small boy when we when we are learning from this passage. The first thing that I want to talk to you about, the first point that I want to give you about this young boy is that he trusted in the power of Jesus Christ. He trusted in the power of Jesus Christ. You see, if I'm in the place of Philippus, if Jesus tells me, Brother Philippus, can you make some arrangement of food for these people, those who are with us? Then I would have said to Jesus, you are the right man to make the arrangements. Why do you ask me? But Philippus, instead of asking Jesus to make arrangements for these people, he starts counting about the how can he get the food for these people. That what's happened in our life sometimes. But here, this young boy, who is barely knowing about what is going on, has trusted about his own resources to Jesus Christ, and he comes to Jesus Christ, and he knows even if he goes with the small things that he has in his hand can be multiplied and can be enough for the people there. That is the trust he has in Jesus Christ. There are more than 5,000 people, and only one had the trust in Jesus. I mean, there would have been people who believed that Jesus could do miracles, Jesus could do healings, but none of them were really ready to take out their tiffins. Whereas this young boy was. Let me give you the second point. He made his presence known. How many people were there? 5,000 men, Bible says. So more than 5,000 exactly people were there. Among these 5,000 people, a young boy comes out suddenly, or, you know, jumps out suddenly and tells, hey, look at me, here I am. Who are you, brother? You are a small guy. And I'm not even interested to know what is your name. Please go to Sunday school. Somebody, please come and take care of this young boy. You know, in this, the Jewish society was a male society, male-dominant society. In that society, a young boy suddenly jumps up and he says, hey, look at me, here I am. Isn't it powerful? He made his presence known. Now, wherever God has kept you, I do not know, but you know it. Are you making your presence known in that area? Do people know you, who you are? And what you exist for? What is the very reason of your existence in the area? Who we are. This young boy, it would have been so hard for him to make his way. You know, he would have just made his way and pushed people. Hello, give me side, let me go front. Why do you want to grow front? No, just, it would have not been so easy to make his presence known. It would have been so difficult to make his presence known. He just made a way through, and he just made a way through to reach to Jesus and let him know, look at me, here I am. Now the second point that we can learn from this boy is, right now we don't know his name. Maybe we'll try to find out at the end of the sermon. Now the second thing that we know is that he let people know about resources. He shouts like this, hey, look at me, here I am, so what, brother? So what? No, I have got something. What is that? He let people know about his resources. Sometimes we are so shy to let people know about resources because we feel my resources can be very small. Or insignificant or insufficient. But this boy, you know, he not even let people know about his presence there, But he tells people very proudly that he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yes? Consider you are there in the place and he tells you, I heard there is some problem with the food. Yeah, there is, boy, yes. You know what? I've got something. Okay, what's that? 5 loaves. 2 fish. What would you say? You will tap his back. Eat, boy. Finish it fast. Before somebody else come to know that you've got something to eat. And usually children don't share their belongings. They are very attached to it. You can't even touch it. No. But this guy is ready. He's letting people know about his resources. He's not shy what he has. He's talking about his resources. Hello, out there, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. In Indian perspective, if I am there, I would say, you shut up, otherwise I will give you one. Go there and eat your tiffin. That's what the Indian, it differs from place to place. Sorry. But look at the story here, you know. Look at the story here. When you are determined to go to reach to Jesus, Jesus makes a way for you. Hallelujah. This young boy was determined to reach to Jesus with his limited resources. And then he, on the way, he gets a right man. Who's the right man? Andrew, not Brother Andrew. Yeah, he's Andrew. Andrews are very good people, it seems. So if there is anyone extending family or having baby in the near coming days, please keep their name Andrew if the baby is boy. Wow. Look at the Andrew here. Where if I am in the place of Andrew, if I'm a good man, if I'm a man with humble heart, I will tell this young boy, I'm so happy, my child, you've got something in your tiffin. Eat it. If I'm an angry man with my own personality, I'll say, shut up, man. Don't disturb. I'm already troubled. More Jesus has asked me to bring food. But look at Andrew. He says, that's something to look upon. What happens here? And Jesus, Andrew, brings this young guy to Jesus. The first point of mine was, this young boy had faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. And Andrew had more greater faith than this young boy. If he can bring food, he can multiply it. Hallelujah. And Andrew takes this young boy to Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever bring anyone to Jesus? Have you ever introduced anyone to Jesus? Or you haven't found a right guy with plenty of resources? Did you introduce anyone to Jesus? Do you yourself know Jesus? Do you have the faith that this young boy is having with this small tiffin, that if it goes to Jesus, it can be increased? And the faith is joined together. Jesus knew this, that a tiffin is going to come to me. It is written there in the sixth verse. Jesus knew this. You know, I mean, as I said, the identity crisis I would talk about, do you know that Andrew was the first disciple to Jesus before Peter? Andrew was called before Peter. Yes? But who takes the first place in the rank of discipleship? Disciples? Peter. And Andrew would be standing like this, "You fellow, I brought you, huh? Don't give me leadership here. It is me who brought you here." But Andrew is humble enough to take up the leadership, take up the second leadership, or maybe the third leadership. Okay, brother. Jesus loves you, Jesus loves me. Go ahead. Be in the inner circle of Jesus Christ. Be his close friend. I'm so happy to see you growing in Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the strong leadership. Not only Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, but Andrew brought this young man to Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't ever look at your child with underestimation. The responsibility that God has given you is to bring them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, let's jump into the third point. He told, not only he let people know about his resources, but he gave them. Whereas usually children don't give their belongings to people. He said when he is brought before Jesus, maybe this is the child whose parent took for prayer, for blessing to Jesus. So when he went before Jesus, I'm just imagining. I love to imagine Bible because then it comes to me very easily. I can just solve it. Okay. He comes in front of Jesus and opens his bag and he says, "You know, Jesus, yes, I know. There is something in my bag." Mm-hmm. "I know." There is 5 loaves. "Wow. And 2 fish. I didn't like the fish Mama gave. I wanted chicken. But Mama gave fish." "Mm-hmm. I know." "I want to give it to you." "But my son, why do you want to give it to me?" "So that you can feed the multitude." "But how can I feed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish? "That's your responsibility." "My responsibility was to bring fruit from here to here. Now you take up the charge." Hallelujah. That is the faith you need to have in Jesus Christ. "Now I submit my life. Now I submit my resources, whatever thing I have in my hand, into the hands of Jesus Christ and let him take care of." Yesterday we were hearing about the testimony of Brother Victor. Victor. Yeah. How wonderfully God provided him resources. And he is still providing that his the storeroom is full and he doesn't know where to keep it. And still people are asking. Now like that we need to submit this. Not only he let people know about his resources, but he gave what he had. Do you share your things to others? What do you share? Do you share what is important to you at the hour when everybody is hungry, when people want their food, the food becomes precious? Do you share with Jesus what is precious at the moment, or you share with Jesus or people what is not precious at the moment? What do you share? Now, I don't need to get answer from you. I know what we share. We share what we usually need. What we actually don't need, we share with others. What is extra for us, we share with others. What is additional to us, we share with others, but not what which is very important to us at the moment, we share with others. But this guy shared what was the need of the hour. Hallelujah. Church, let's say aloud, hallelujah. What a fantastic boy he is. He teaches me a lot of things. Please start sharing, because we are the people of giving and receiving. Bible says, freely I have received and freely I give. If you don't believe this, I have a doubt on your call. Freely I have received, and freely I give. Let's look at the next point. And then one more point, and then I'll finish it. I promise. The fifth point is that he ate with all. Maybe. You know? He ate with all. When Jesus took the bread and the fish in both his hands and prayed, and suddenly it increased. I don't know how it increased, but it would have been so wonderful to be there and see things increasing. I love to see things increasing. Oh, well, all of us. How good it would be not to go to supermarket and get things for the entire month. And let look at the kitchen things growing by itself. And say, praise the Lord. This guy is so blessed that he is seeing his own things and nothing. And I'm not saying it is his own bread which is increasing. How wonderful it would be. You know, I Lord, will I get to see that kind of thing in my life? I don't know. But then he sat there, and he may be the first one to sit in the first number of the first one to be served. VIP. Because this food belonged to him, now to Jesus, and not to everyone. Now, remember this. How many loaves is brought? Okay. And how many fishes? Not fishes, sorry. How many fish? My Indian English sometimes, you know, troubles me. Two fish and five loaves. If he wouldn't have shared his tiffin with Jesus, what would have been his entire take-in? Five and two. Now since he has shared his tiffin to Jesus, how much can he consume? As much as he wants. Hallelujah. When you give, you receive. And in plenty. Now he can take back home also. Mama. Yes, son. How many fish did you give me? I gave you two. I ate four. How did you eat four? Oh, that's a story I'll tell you afterwards. But look, Mama, I got four more extra. One for you, one for daddy, and you know, you can even enjoy two also. When you give, you receive. And receive in plenty. There is no counting. Receive in unlimited. Look, if I like fish. Do you like fish?
Yeah.
Okay, then you must give fish to Jesus. Yes or no? He had a freedom to eat as much as he could eat. Let me give you the last point, and then I'll be done with this boy. And then I'll also focus on the identity crisis. This is my last point. You know, all this thing happened, this fellow ate food and returned home. He was wearing his cassock type of dress, because Jewish people used to wear that. And he's the small boy, he's walking. In walking and entering his village, small village. What is the name of the village? I don't know. Do you know? He's entering in the village, and the moment he's entering into the village, his tiffin is full now, which was given by Mama. There is additional food because Jesus gave. You can take it home. Who knows that out of the 12 basket, one was given to him. Pack it tight, man. Yeah. So this fellow is now returning home, and suddenly people, this is the guy. And he says, well, what happened? I know, I heard about you. Because in those days, even in those days, mobile used to work. Mouth to mouth. These kind of things, you can't keep in a closed box. The miracle spreads. And that's why wherever Jesus went, people followed him. Even though there was no mobile. But people followed because message spread across. When he entered into his village, people started talking about him, looking at him and say, hey, come on, welcome, man. You made our village live now. Everybody knows about us because you are from our village. And maybe Mama would also be waiting. Oh, my son, he's a great son. Sorry, beta, I just gave you some in the morning. Please forgive me. I didn't know you are so good in your heart. Tell me one thing. What is the name of this boy? Anything? Any guess? And oh yeah, that's a fantastic guess. Yes. Church, you have learned today. Hallelujah. Okay, what color does he owe? Is he dark? Is he red? Is he white? Is he gray? What from where does he come? Anything? Any idea? Okay, is he tall or he's short? He comes from a very good family, clean clothes, or he's a poor family, he's torn shoes and dirty clothes. Who is he? What's his name? What's his age? What's his background? What's his clan? What his caste and culture is? Bible talks nothing about it. And you know today's world exists for all these things. I exist because I want people to know my name. I exist because I am this. I am here because I am that. You should respect me because I am this. I come from this heritage. That background is mine. The world today exists because they want to have an identity. We all want to have identity. If our identity is not acknowledged, we don't want to go into those places. People are very ignorant. They don't know who I am. The world today is all fighting for their identity. And look at this boy. He is world famous. Everybody know about him, but he has no identity. People know him only with this name, that he gave his food to Jesus. What is your identity today? Are you living for your name? Are you living for all that you have as physical things to you? Or do people know you that this man is a man of God? What is your identity today? That is a big question that I want to leave before you. Do I exist because I have a name? Or do I exist because I have a God? I am someone because someone died for me. What is my identity all about? Please compare yourself. Let's close our eyes. And meditate upon what we have heard. Many of you may say, Lord, I am at the edge of my life. I may die in years or someday. I have lived my life, but haven't come across this kind of experience that this boy is going through in his young age. What is my identity at this old age? Many of you who are very young may ask this question. Lord, I have so much to do. I'm not yet settled, looking for a family. Job is not sure. House is not sure. How can I make my identity in you? Is Jesus sufficient to have your own identity? Please pray in your heart.
Your word is a two-edged sword, and it's cut into our hearts and reminded us of how privileged we are if we know you and love you, because we are loved by you, our Father, and known by you, our Father. Thank you for the lessons. This little boy, simple faith in a powerful, powerful Savior. Forgive us when we lack faith. Please forgive us when we find our identity in where we've come from or what we've achieved or anything else. Help us to find all of our sufficiency in Jesus Christ, our all in all. We don't want to leave here this morning and then feel that it's business as usual. We want you to have dealings with us and to show us what we can bring to you and then what you multiplied for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
gospel of risen.
Here in any other way but rejoicing, just simply in who you are and who we are because of who you are. Help us today as we have been challenged by your word to go and make your name known wherever you have placed us, whether in the city or elsewhere, and continue to use your people in India to make your name known until that day when there will be people, millions, around the throne of the Lamb singing your praises. Now may the love of God, the Father, the grace of Jesus, the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of those who know and who love him, now and forever. Amen. Amen.